Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Chris Marlowe and Christopher Dempsey just left speechless on altitude last night as the Nuggets go up 2-0 on the Lakers. Jamal Murray with the first buzzer beater walk-off in his playoff career. Nuggets now with a stranglehold on the Lakers. Joel Embiid, Nick Nurse, everyone in Philly complaining about the officials. Whoops, you blew the lead in the Garden as they lose a wild one, especially the last 25, 35 seconds or so to the Knicks. Mike Breen with a double bang on ESPN as Dante DiVincenzo hit the game-winning three. A wild night in the NBA. We could say the same for the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. I think Connor McDavid just added another assist while we were getting the show started. A handful for him last night. Isles blow a 3-0 lead to Carolina. Toronto perhaps rids themselves of the Hex in Boston. Plenty to get to. And yes, we'll get deep into the NBA playoffs. Von Dalzell going to join us today at 10:20 Eastern. But a lot of NFL draft to talk. Oh, we got to thank our guy Lance Lynn. He provided on two fronts yesterday as well. The Phillies run their winning streak to 7 games. Aaron Boone gets tossed for a fan yelling from behind the dugout. It's a beautiful day in the Bronx. A lot to get to today. Baseball, basketball, hockey, and as I mentioned, the draft. Welcome into BetQL Daily presented by BetMGM. That draft now, just about 59 hours away from getting started in Detroit alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. Connor Allen of 4 for 4 going to join us at the top of the third and final hour here on BetQL Daily, 11 a.m. Eastern. Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports in less than 20 minutes. We've got the draft covered from all angles, including from our angles. We will draft the draft. What's that mean? It means we will draft our favorite bets of the draft coming up a little less than 1 hour from now. Could be certain players to go at certain spots, could be number of players at a certain position to go in the first round, could be over under draft slots for certain players. We'll be all over the board literally in 56 minutes from now. But the draft, that's where we're at. Jane Daniels now down to minus 330 to go second overall. I guess Denver still needs to trade up for a quarterback. I don't know if trading for Zach Wilson changes your quarterback strategy in the draft at all or not, Aaron, but we've also got some updated mock drafts from our friends. We've got Matt Friedman's. We've got Sean Norris's latest mock draft, and both of them very different. But yeah, I don't think Zach Wilson, Aaron, immediately going to get Denver rethinking their draft strategy. It's just another lottery ticket in the quarterback room.
You would think the Broncos are absolutely drafting a quarterback. That Broncos quarterback room is looking rough. What does Sean Payton think that he can, you know, maybe he can do the whole Geno Smith thing with Zach Wilson. That's what he's hoping. A Zach Wilson resurgence from his college days, Joe. But it kind of seems like they have to draft a quarterback, right?
Yeah, 100%. So it's just going to change every day till Thursday. Is that what we're going to do? Like there's just a new thing with one of these three quarterbacks, or that's what's going to happen. I when we have situations like this, I tend to go back to what we've been saying all along, what's been going on throughout. And you'll see that when we draft the draft with a couple of bets that I do like, that, you know what, a lot of this is just garbage BS that people are throwing out there, whether it's on the media side, whether it's on the team front looking for some sort of advantage. I do still think at the end, it's going to be what we thought for most of the time, where it's going to be Caleb it's going to be Daniels, and the betting market is going that way. And then it's going to be Drake May. And then what happens with McCarthy? Is somebody going to trade into the top five, or is somebody going to hang out 11, 12 and draft him there? Or maybe move in to one of those spots, maybe leap one of those teams where we were supposed to have a big quarterback run, or it's expected. Like, you know, all this chatter about Daniels liking the Raiders, that would be his number one spot. That's cute. The Raiders aren't getting up there. Like, how are they getting up to number two to get him? That's what I don't understand. There will be surprises. There are always going to be surprises. Quarterbacks are the number one story, but I still think what we've thought all along, for the most part, is how this thing's going to lay out, at least in the top three.
I think what's interesting, too, is whether you think it's going to be increasingly competitive in teams trying to jump over each other for those quarterbacks at three and four or maybe five, or whether you think it's everybody takes a step back, kind of pushes away from the table and says, yeah, a little too rich for me. I'll let the quarterbacks fall to me. Because those are the two competing lines of thinking, the two competing philosophies we got from Josh Norris and Matthew Friedman in these updated mocks that we just got this morning, Joe. Is mm-hmm. Matt says, well, no, I think Minnesota and Denver kind of hang back and wait to see how things fall. Josh says, no, they get aggressive. You have Minnesota trading up to three with New England to get May. You have Denver then maybe panicking in that moment, trading up to four to get McCarthy. I tend to lean, I think, a little bit more toward the conservative side. I think teams are going to let things fall to them at 11, 12, and 13, maybe jump into the 9, 10 spot if they think there's an opportunity there. I don't know if we get all the wild wheeling and dealing at 3 and 4 that some may expect.
Yeah, I think so. I think what's probably the most interesting parts about the top of the draft is what happens with McCarthy, what happens with the receivers. Because I'm still not 100% sold on exactly how that's going to go. We have been saying for quite some time, Arizona 4, we don't know if there's going to be any movement there, but man, there's a lot of buzz on Neighbors. Like, I would think that is a little bit different, and just the order of that. And I hesitate when we plug in so many spots. I keep bringing it up with all of our guests about number 8, and now I'm thinking about number 7. And we're starting to see movement there. That's where I think it gets fascinating, Aaron, because I don't know. You went O-line last year. Joe Alt, a new regime. Are they going to start Tennessee there? Or maybe a team makes a decision for the Titans doing something different. Where I'm seeing a bunch of mocks, people pretty good at this, where Alt goes higher. Where Alt ends up being a top 5 pick. Best tackle on the board? I mean, that would not surprise me at all.
And Chris Mack has been talking about offensive linemen. You know, every team needs one. About the wide receivers, I mean, we talk about this being lying season as we approach the draft, but right after the Super Bowl is when you started to hear people talking about, wait a second, Neighbors could go before Marvin Harrison. So that's been going on, that chatter, for a while, and there's a lot more value on Neighbors going before Harrison. I hope it's Harrison before Neighbors. You watched a really cool feature story with him and his dad. He just seems like such a good kid, so athletic. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's where there is a shakeup, and you can get a lot better value if Neighbors is the first wide receiver selected. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if the quarterbacks and receivers come off the board early, and then teams kind of circle back around late first, early second to more quarterbacks and wide receivers, it's all about how things get filled in, I guess, from a more practical standpoint. And if you're betting some of those position totals in the first round, how does it get filled in between, say, 6, 7, 8 and all the way down to 28, 29, 30? Mostly offensive linemen, corners, where do the edges and interior defenders fit in? We'll draft the draft, as I mentioned, in about 50 minutes, 10 a.m. Eastern here, live coast to coast on the BetQL network. Don't forget, you can watch the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, and on YouTube, just search Odyssey Sports. So I'll put it to you very simply, Joe, of the three Game 2 losers who are all now down 0-2 in their series last night, Can any of them come back to win their series? Lakers blow a 20-point lead to the Nuggets. Sixers are trying their damnedest with Joel Embiid on one leg to steal something from the Knicks at some point. And the Orlando Magic, thank you for showing up, but the Cleveland Cavaliers have no interest in watching you do anything. Do any of these three teams, Orlando, Philly, LA, have a shot to come back in their series?
One of them does, but there's a reason to be concerned. Philadelphia does. And I'm not being Joel Embiid at his locker room after the game, refusing to look up and saying how everybody was trying to call a timeout. Well, the guys that had the ball, including Maxey, he wasn't trying to call a timeout. Inbounding guy, he wasn't trying to call a timeout. Your coach was. Batum was on the other side of the court, but that doesn't help the situation. I'm not saying that they're the better team. Embiid said that after the game. I'm not saying they're going to win the series, but you're asking which one has a shot? Philly does. I understand if you would argue me on that because, like, the good Brunson hasn't shown up yet, and they're up 2-0. That's scary. That is scary if you're Philadelphia. And you're getting nothing from the others. It is only Embiid and Maxey. And we brought up this point yesterday. They need help from other dudes. And those two alone, not going to get it done. Meanwhile, the Knicks have every starter getting into double figures. And it's hard for the Sixers to find a third guy that can do anything. Harris only had 10 points last night. And Lowry and Batum, Oubre, 4, 6, 8. Like, they're doing nothing. And that's what you need in the NBA playoffs. I know we're going to sit here and spend all the time on Embiid and his health, what Maxey's doing and all that, because that's what people end up talking about, the superstars. But most times, what wins games, the difference makers, are the guys coming off the bench, are those role players. You need one of them in just about every game. Like, I grew up watching a two-headed monster in Jordan and Scotty, but you know what? A lot of times, games are won by the grit of what Rodman was doing, or Horace Grant, or Kerr coming off the bench, or Hodges coming off the bench and just raining down threes. And people tend to forget that. They need somebody to step up. Now that we're switching venues, I expect that to happen. Do the Knicks win that game on the road last night? I don't know. That was a hell of a way for DiVincenzo to go over 3.5 made threes, though. I'll tell you that. That was a hell of a scene, everything that happened last night. But of the three, that's the only one that has a shot. I mean, we said Orlando's dead after game one. And LeBron again. What else you got to do? Maybe score more points in the second half. How about that?
LeBron crying about the officials. I'm here for all of that. And the Magic, I was talking to Chris Mack. That's embarrassing that I actually had faith in this team, only putting up 86 points, no offense whatsoever. Get them out of here. I don't want to watch another game in that series. Mm-mm. Tyrese Maxey is looking like the MVP for the Sixers. Impressive what he's been able to do, but it's like with a hobbled Embiid and Maxey kind of carrying the team, they just seem shorthanded. The Knicks are just so scrappy. Everyone's stepping up. I'm with Joe. I think the Sixers are the only team that could climb out of this hole.
Embiid can't do anything more, right?
No. I don't think any of these teams come back. I said it yesterday that maybe the Lakers could force a sixth game if they stole one in Denver. I don't know about that anymore. I don't know if even the Sixers, as much as they have tried to hang, can force a sixth game, to be honest. The way Embiid, they've thrown everything, the kitchen sink at the Knicks. And you're right. They'll win at least one at home. They'll win at least one back in Philly. But, man, they go back to the Garden down 3-1. I just don't know if they're running out of gas in the fourth quarter of games. What's going to happen in the fourth quarter of game five back at the Garden, assuming we get to that point? I don't see it in there. And, yeah, let's pretend like we never once mentioned the Orlando Magic in the month of April, Aaron. they're done. Cavs in three. We will look at tonight's game twos at 11:20 a.m. Eastern. So in about 2 hours from now, Suns, Pacers, Mavs all trying to bounce back in game twos on the road. We draft the draft, our favorite NFL draft bets, at the top of the hour. Coming up next, we get an expert's insight from CBS Sports. Ryan Wilson joins us to talk draft here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM.